Welcome. This is our last call. I can't believe that, our final call for RP-102 Evaluation and Recreation. And I'd like to acknowledge I'm hosting it from the traditional territories of the Kwan-Lundem First Nation and Tongkwatchin Council. So last week we had a really good conversation, and I appreciate you guys joining last week too, about collecting data. And it doesn't matter. I say data, sometimes I say data, but I'm not sure which was the right way of saying it, but we talked about collecting data. We talked about how to do it respectfully and the pros and cons of some of the different tools that you can use to collect data. And this week we're going to move from collecting it to actually making good use of it, because that's the end purpose from an evaluation. Is there's no point in doing an evaluation if it's not useful, and if we can't figure it out and use it in a way that's useful. So if you were, as I just said, a good evaluation is one that's useful, and there's really no point in time wasting people's time if they're answering surveys and filling out questionnaires and participating in focus groups if you don't take the time to learn what you use or use what you learn to make changes. So I'll give you a really simple example. At the end of each learning event, I have a feedback form, and not everybody fills them out because I think probably after a while you get tired of filling them out. But I get some really useful information. I read them, and sometimes people say things that they don't tell me in person, and I can use those to improve the next learning event or the next time I deliver that learning event. So I find that that's really helpful. So basically, our evaluation is always going to be useful to us. It's something we're going to be able to apply or to use. But there is one exception, and I just wanted to point that out. The exception is something called summative evaluation. And summative simply means that it's at the end of something, and usually we only do that type of evaluation for a funder at the end of a project to justify their investment in that project. So it's something that probably won't carry on, or maybe there's some learnings from it that we want to take, but that's one type of evaluation that we might not always be using the results for ourselves and for ongoing work. So we've got a really short round of introductions today, because there's three of us on the call. So we'll go Jan, Stephanie, Caroline, and then we'll go the other way, Caroline, Stephanie, Jan. And I'm going to ask you a question that I asked on the very first call. So when you introduce yourself, and yeah, I mean, the introductions can be short, or you can tell me something that is going well with your week this week if you want to. But if you think about the past few weeks in this learning event, on a scale of 1 to 7, where 1 is basically nothing and 7 is a lot, how would you rate your evaluation knowledge and skills now? So people did that on the very first call we had. And you guys, if you remember what you said on the first call, tell me what you said on the first call, and then tell me what you would think now. So I think for me, I said I was about a 6 on a scale of 1 to 7. There's always lots to learn about evaluation, and I never feel like I've quite learned all of it. So that's kind of where I'm at. And as far as in my life right now, March is the end of the fiscal year, and I do a lot of evaluation and reporting for the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon. So very soon my head will be swimming in more reporting than evaluation, but there is an evaluation component to it. That's me. Over to you, Jan, and then we'll go to Stephanie.
So, hey everyone, my name is Jan. I'm working as a squash coach in the Squash Yukon. So, I'll start with last week. So, before last week, it was crazy for me. Like, the timing was like so much things were happening around in the squash, and I was doing the course also, so I don't have much time to do this stuff. Now, the squash is slowing down, so I'm getting a bit time, and I'm engaging myself to in tennis also. So I'm going to take the role of the community tennis coordinator position as well in the summer. So I'll be running more tennis and the squash together. And evaluation knowledge and skills now. So I would rate myself out of 7.5. So I don't have much idea when I started this course, but and it's still like there are so many things that I need to learn on in the evaluation knowledge, and like I got so much to know now. My knowledge has been increased a lot on that part. Now I'm like 70-80% confident I can do some evaluation and, you know, pick some stuff and I can give a proper rating or proper standing where the program is running or where the program is, what is the status of the program is going on, something like that. Thank you.
That's great, and I appreciated reading sort of your part A for your squash, because you had a really good purpose there, just a tiny little tweak. And then I just suggested some changes for your questions if that's what you're after. And so I'm interested to see where your part B goes from there. And I think that that would be a really good evaluation to do, because there is a huge focus nationally on increasing the participation of women and girls in sport and in recreation. So really, really well worthwhile doing that if you have the chance to follow through with it and do it. So
I can do that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. And over to you, Stephanie.
Hello. So I would say on a scale of 1 to 7, I would say my evaluation knowledge has gone, yes, I'd say about a 5. I would like to have more experience with evaluating different activities, programs, and events. And recently, we've hired another staff member to work below, or with me. I shouldn't say, I don't like the hierarchy way of describing it, but I do have more staff to work with. And I was working all weekend last weekend, and I'm going to be working all weekend this coming weekend. So I'm pretty busy. I wasn't expecting to have someone hired on so quickly. Like, this posting was up for a while, and he just got hired on just on Friday, and then he started Monday, so I was spending 4 days with him. So I'm not complaining, though. I'm not complaining. Because come summertime, I'm going to need him big time. So with the evaluation, I think, like, for my own personal experience, I don't know. I'm almost considering having getting together with a couple of volunteers to see if I can have their input. Maybe almost have like a small recreation committee or something where I can have input on one of the few teenagers we have in this community, someone from the senior society. A lot of it because when I'm gathering information, a lot of times I get ideas, input, comments, anything like that. Like that kind of input from the general public, usually at events and activities that are open to the public. So if I can make it a little more formal and have maybe a small meeting, even a coffee once a month, to get together with like 2 or 3 individuals in the community who are a constant, and they're usually at my events, programming, activities, anyone that I see usually participating. So if I can have more of a formal meeting with them, so I don't have sticky notes or notes on my phone or notes in my notepad, so then at least if it's all formal, I can have it all written down, minutes are taken, and all the information and the ideas have been taken into account, and I could have others in the committee that can reflect, that I could talk to, pros and cons, what we can improve, what we can take out. So I think I'm going to start that.
Yeah, that's for my sanity. It sounds like a recreation advisory group, and Deanne, that would be like you would have a board that you bounce ideas off, right? Whereas Stephanie, you don't have a board, or and a committee can be fairly formal. So if you call them a group, you don't have to make it quite as formal. And you might want to wait when we get into SV101, which is Find and Keep Volunteers. There's some good resources in there for pulling on your volunteers and working with groups and stuff. So I can sort of point you in the direction of some of those things too. So just to remind me when we get to that learning event, it's in April, which is next month. My goodness. Okay.
You can find me in your feed if you want to.
Pardon?
You're based in Whitehorse or you're based in Kingston?
I'm based in Enterprise Northwest Territories. It's not too far from Yellowknife. It's about a 5-hour drive south of Yellowknife.
Okay, I thought like you were here in town. Maybe I can help you something with, you know, being a volunteer or something. So that's what I, okay. And you can talk about it.
If you have things electronic as well, you can always find Stephanie's email by when you're in the learning event. If you click on participants at the top, it will show your different email addresses. So if you have something, DM that you think is useful to share, I think that's the best part about our learning events is being able to share resources that we have. So by all means, if you have any suggestions or we have quite a good volunteer bureau in the Yukon. I'm not sure what the MWT one is like. So there might be some things that are really helpful. So thank you. Thanks for bringing that up. Awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, so you might recall that I asked the same question when we began this learning event. And so that's an example of a pre and post type evaluation. Sometimes you might do something at the beginning before you start, and then again at the end, so that you can get a sense of what's changed in between. So that can, funders like that type of pre and post thing. It works best, though, to not be its own evaluation tool by itself, because as you can see, I'm relying on you telling me what you remember ranking yourself at 4 weeks ago and where you feel like you're at now. So it's helpful to combine it with something else, like a qualitative tool that says, you know, reflect on what your learning was. So something like this week's required learning activity would be also helpful. So you'll find an example of that type of thing when you do this week's RLA or when you get to it. So if I'm going to have the slides, I don't know if you guys want me to put the slides on the screen or if you have them available to you and just go through some of them. So I'm going to start with slide 52, which talks about organizing data. So slide 51 just really says that when we make sense of data, we need to do three things. So we need to organize, analyze, and interpret. So let's start with organizing. When you organize the information you've collected, and I think this is what you're saying, Stephanie, it's really important to keep notes about how you do it. So if the information that you're collecting is in a survey, for example, sometimes people start them and then jump out and then start them again. So you need to make sure that you make a note, this survey was incomplete, so I've removed it. Or, you know, if only half the people fully answered all the questions, I might think about how I treat the half-answered survey questions. You might also want to organize data like from people that are regularly coming to your programs versus people who aren't, and just make notes what you're doing. So you're organizing it so that you can make sense of it, so that you can look for patterns and trends and relationships across your data. So we talked about some of the ways to analyze data, so moving on from organizing to analyzing, and this is a fairly quick high-level overview today. If you need more information, there's lots of resources in the Explore More section and linked in the slides. So when you move on to analyzing data, as we talked about last week, you're going to have both quantitative and qualitative data, and you might do different things with that. So one quote that I like is Ralph Waldo Emerson said that people only see what they are prepared to see. So we have to keep in mind that our own biases and what we might want to see in the data can influence what we do see. So we need it can be helpful. You know, like let's say, Stephanie, you had a community meeting and you had flip charts and people were putting all their ideas up. You might organize and see that in one way, Whereas somebody on your, if you had a recreation advisory group, somebody else might see it in a different way. So a youth might see something different than somebody who's an elder. So it's really important for us, if we're the ones doing the evaluation, to step back and try and be objective when we're analyzing it. And you want to really try and use different ways to explore and analyze your data, not just counting. Like, counting is a great way to start, but where does that take you? So what else would you look at? Sometimes we count things and we look for all the things that are the same, but sometimes it's really important to look for what's different. So by looking at your data, it's like taking a big ball and turning it around, or you know those Rubik's cubes that you spin with the colors? It's like each side has a different color. So you kind of want to do that with your data. You want to organize it in different ways so that you see different patterns. And I think that's a really important, that's a hard skill to do, because we all have our own biases, even just based on our age and our background and our experience. So just try and keep your mind open to things that you might not expect. So after you've analyzed data, and this is moving to slide 54, we're going to interpret it. And I really like the format. This format for me works great for interpreting data on slide 54, so I've shared it with you. It's a really good thing to use in a lot of different things, and it's just called what, so what, now what. But really it's like, what do I see, so what does this mean, and now what am I going to do about it? And so you can use that for any conversations, issues, and it moves people from what the issue is to what the action can be to address that issue. So you know how sometimes when we have conversations with boards or advisory committees, we get bogged down in what's not working, what people are, you know, annoyed about or angry about or things like that. This can kind of move you beyond that. So you can say, yeah, everybody's angry and they're upset about this and they don't like this and they want this to happen on this day. Okay, that's the what. So what does this mean? And now what are we going to do about it? So it's a really good format to use for just about anything and to help you figure that out. So try and put that into the perspective of your when you start to think about evaluation, you reflect on it. How could you use that when you're interpreting data? So moving on then, once we've sort of interpreted or identified our evaluation findings, we want to start to use them. So if you look at slide 55, it reminds you yet again that a good evaluation is useful. And it also reminds you that what might be useful to you might not be useful to somebody else. So we have to be thinking, that's why coming back to the purpose for our evaluation is so important. Because thinking about the stakeholders and who we want to involve. So when you make use of findings, you're going to do three things. You're going to present them, apply them, or share them, or do all three. So let's reflect on a couple of creative ways that we can present our evaluation findings. The last time I did this learning event, I had people look at data, analyze it, interpret it, and present the findings, but I took that activity out because it was a lot of work in a 4-week time frame. So we're just going to have a conversation about it. And because there's just three of us on the call, that makes it great. So let's start with, I'm just going to do one question at a time, and then we'll see where that takes us. So my first question to you, and maybe Stephanie, I'll invite you to go first this time, and then Deanne. So what are some of the things we need to consider when we present our what we've learned from an evaluation? So think that you've finished all your evaluation stuff, you've learned some things. How do you present that? What do you need to think about when you're presenting it?
I would say to present my findings, okay, I'll use an example. When we had a wellness meeting, I think like a couple of months ago, wellness dinner meeting, I had taken all the notes from the community, and I had typed them all up and I printed them all out, and I had a post-dinner meeting so people in the community can look over what was noted at the first meeting. So I did have more ideas, which was awesome, and also it kind of gave the residents an idea of like some other ideas from other people, so they were able to talk to each other about it. Like, well, there was a couple of them that were looking at notes, and they were, I could hear them, like, oh, I wrote down this, oh, did you? And then they started talking, they had a conversation about it. And that's the stuff I want to see, is I don't want everybody to depend on me to always come up with the ideas, and I'm the middle person between communication lines between the residents and the volunteers and the participants and staff. And having a group gathering like that really helps improve their relationships and communication, and it takes a lot of weight off of me. And I think the point I'm trying to get to is, after an evaluation, after questions, it's nice to have like a post gathering afterwards. Like just to, I would say a lot of it, so people can come, like absorb the ideas, absorb, the notes and the ideas, and then have some time to think about it back, and then being able to add, edit, or come up with new ideas. And I like gathering with you, because it gives me a chance to let people know that, you know, I know there are so many things that they would like to see coming from recreation. However, I do explain to them that I would like, love to do everything, but it has to be feasible from my perspective. Like it has to be where I'm able to do these things within my time limit, my efforts, and we're going to try to, see what works best for the majority, and works best for the majority, and also have smaller programming for the minority. Cause I don't like to be exclusive. I like to be inclusive and include anyone and everyone that I can.
So what I hear you saying then is one of your considerations when you present evaluation findings is presenting it back in a way that encourages ongoing conversation and discussion. It doesn't end the conversation. It carries it on forward. Great. Thanks. Deanne, how about yourself? What is a consideration or what would you need to consider when you're presenting what you've learned from an evaluation?
I think Tiffany has covered so many points into that. That's I like their points. A couple of points I need to look in, we need to see when we're presenting the evaluation finding. That is the you're supposed to provide a concrete solution. Like sometimes what happens, the evaluation itself become a question, right? So we need to provide more solution, right? So that's the one thing. And then second, what Stephanie told, like, it's supposed to be feasible. Like, solution you're giving, it's supposed to be feasible and doable, right? You can do this stuff. Like, you've given a, like, I'm working on some program, and then my finding says we need a more course or more recreation area, and we don't have resources or we don't have that timeline, right? So it should not be like something like in the short term, also like close to what we can do, right? That's the one thing. And most of the time what happens whenever you find the findings of the evaluation, it should be in the positive way. Like most of the time we end up, okay, this guy was not doing this or this program was not running. It's supposed to be like there, but not too much on the negativity, right? Not pointing someone's fault or something. That's a big deal in the, yeah. And one last thing in evaluation, whenever you're doing so, it creates more future openings or more ideas, you know? So everybody will like, they can share their thing into that programming. That's how it goes.
Thanks. So I think that you've built on what Stephanie was saying really nicely. So you've said that, you know, evaluation should also, it should result, I think you used the word solution, but I suggest that perhaps the word is recommendation, because it's not always the one solution. When I did my master's project and wrote my master's paper, I had to come up with 4 recommended actions. So they were recommendations. I knew which was the best solution, but I was supposed to present the recommendation. So especially if you're doing an evaluation that somebody else will weigh in on, or if it affects your job, or how you do work or your budget, it's nice to have recommendations. And then let others weigh in on which one is great. I really like to use another word, use solution focused, and also you mentioned ideas, which I jotted down the word innovative. And so I think that in my mind, when we're thinking about presenting evaluation findings, like what Stephanie said, you want to encourage more conversation. You want to encourage people to be excited about what they can do now they have some more information. It's like, I've got this information, now I can act on it. And that's exciting moving forward. So those are all really key considerations when presenting evaluation findings. I think some of the other things that I think of is, how am I going to present them? So, you know, if people have varying levels of literacy, I don't want to present a complicated report. I might want to present a visual. So one of the visuals on slide 56 is from a UConn Healthy Living study that we did in 2016. So we tried to put little snippets of information together with a picture or an image that conveys a little bit of information. So, you know, people might use infographics as one thing. You might capture something in a flow chart, like, you know, we learned this, and here's our 3 solutions, right? So you could, or 3 suggested routes. Those types of things, and that keeps that conversation open, like you said. So lots of different ways to present evaluation findings. My next question, and this, I think we've talked about this before, so this should maybe just take, you know, maybe if you just take 10 seconds or less to answer this question, who might be interested in your evaluation findings? And let's start with Guillaume this time. So let's do this one in 10 seconds or less, because some of my other questions are more important, I think.
So the board members or a stakeholder or your sponsors will be more interested in your evaluation.
Okay, so board or stakeholders are going to be interested, as well as you yourself, right? That's pretty important. Stephanie, who else might be interested? I know you've said this a few times, and I'm just going to ask you to reiterate it. Who else is interested in your evaluation findings?
I would say mayor and council, because I get a lot of support from them with activities and events, other participants, staff, volunteers, the funders. They would like to have that information, so if I apply for more funding for next year, they're going to want to know stats and numbers and how successful the programming was, and then that way all that would work. And plus, all of this would be good for me for next year and the following year to get better and better.
Yeah, and I think when you're working in a – sorry, go ahead, Gia.
Our subjects supposed to get also, like, it's a good way to tell your subjects also who took part into evaluation. Like sending the copy of results to them also is a good way to, do the thing.
Yeah, so we did a research project in 5 UConn communities this summer, and each community got their own specific report. Really short and concise with lots of, like, bullet points and things, but that was our way of sharing the findings back with the people who participated. You know, and if you're in a role like Stephanie where you're working for the Hamlet, really your whole community may be interested in your evaluation findings. So your audience for your findings could be very narrow. If, like, Deanne, for your idea about women in squash, that might be fairly narrow audience. Like, you might not need to be telling all your members, this is what we found out. It might be you and your board that are making decisions about what you might change moving forward. But for something like, what are you doing for community programs and how might we change those, the whole community might want to know about that. So it really depends on, it comes back to the purpose, right, about who might be interested. Here's another question I'm going to ask you, and we won't take a super long time, but I just want to get your thoughts on this one. So thinking of your evaluation findings, what of your findings is appropriate to share? So, Stephanie, I'll ask you first this time. What of your evaluation findings is appropriate to share?
I would say I would like to share to the general public all the positive points of view, opinions, comments of the evaluation. And I would have to, like, if there are negative comments in the evaluation, I wouldn't like to censor it completely. However, I would try to reword it in such a way that can be, you know, what are the options that I can work around that one comment? I'm just thinking of, but that's a really good question, like how much and what should you share? But I guess I'm thinking of the general public. However, when you're thinking, when I'm thinking about funders, then they're going to want numbers, they're going to want stats and frequency and length of time, and like they would like to have the numbers when it comes to my funders. However, to mayor and council, they would like to know how many people were there. They'd like to see pictures, they'd like to see, you know, smiling faces and seeing that, hey, you know what, a lot of people had a good time. And as for staff and volunteers, I think they would like to know more about, hey, you know what, how can we improve our services, how can we improve communication, how can we improve ourselves to be more welcoming to the participants and to each other. Maybe even a debriefing with each other, so then we all are on the same plate or same, you know, or same level of thinking when we're starting the programming. It's good to, for me, I like to debrief before and after an event. I like to show up there before an event just to make sure everybody, hey, you know, is doing okay. Someone could show up with a little bit of a cold, half asleep, kind of tired. And so I could tell that person, hey, you know what, we got everything covered for now. Why don't you go home for a couple hours, and if you want to come back in a couple hours, get some rest. I mean, there's nothing worse than running an event where my staff or myself are extremely tired. Tiredness for me brings on crabbiness, and I do not like to have that that kind of a welcoming person at any kind of event.
Yeah, so coming back to what would be appropriate to share then, what I heard you say is you have to be careful about what type of information is shared with whom, because different audiences are interested in different pieces of information, and you don't want to stick a whole bunch of negative comments out there, or comments that identify people either. So, thanks.
Yes.
Deanne, how about yourself? What would be appropriate to share from your findings? Hope you're on mute. There we go.
So what would be appropriate to share? It's like whatever they want to see, just show them exactly what they want to see, right? It's not like, so what's supposed to be appropriate? Let's say for funders, what they want to see, like they want to see the exchange, right? They want to see the footfall, how many people are seeing their website, how is their appealing to the public. That's the one thing. Workers, let's say somebody's working, so show them like whatever the good work they did, right? And then the board members, the number of participants, so, and if there is someone from the finances, so we can show them like the budget, okay, this is the part and this stuff. So to show them what they want to see exactly, you know, like might be the worker they're not interested in seeing your finances and numbers and all, right? And this is what I think this is what I understand. And this,
yeah, so you have to be very aware of your community and your audiences when you're sharing. And again, as you guys have mentioned, what you might share with one audience could be different than what you might share with another audience. So with mayor and council who holds the purse strings, you might hear, have a lot of comments about cost or facilities or something big, and you could probably share those comments a little bit more frankly or openly. But with community, you don't want to put a comment up there that's going to incite everybody. So you don't want to say five people said that our arena needs work and is falling down or something like that. What you can do with community is you would say, we heard some positive, you know, we heard some comments about our facilities. We're going to explore what that means a little bit further. So you have to be careful that you don't use evaluation findings in a way that's going to make a situation sort of bigger, like that's going to make a negative situation or blow something out of proportion. But you also don't want to use those rose-colored lenses that says everything was great, because your community is going to go, so much for that. They didn't listen to what I had to say. So you have to find a really fine balance about what's appropriate to share and think of the reactions that you might get. So you want to maintain trust from the people who participated in your evaluation and the people that are reading and learning about what you found out about your evaluation. And that could be your community, your mayor, your SAO, your board, anybody. So keep that in mind, and also keep confidentiality in mind. So if you put one comment, if one person said one thing and you highlight that comment, it's quite likely that people are going to know who that person was. So try and make sure that you're aware of, remember we talked, I think it was the first week, about informed consent, confidentiality, and anonymity, which is hard in a small community. So keep that in mind, because those things should influence what's appropriate to share and what isn't. Does that make sense? Okay. So really important, it's not just how we do the evaluation, but it's what we do with it afterwards that carries on that trust and that rapport that we might have established. So as you pointed out, evaluation results should be presented and shared purposefully. Like, there's a reason behind doing it. We want to create more conversation or things like that. We have to consider our audiences, and we also have to consider things like the budget, because you can't make a recommendation if having that budget, like you can't recommend to build a new facility, and that's what you've learned through an evaluation, if there's no way you're ever going to have the money to do that. So on slide 57, any of your presentations or recommendations from your evaluation, make sure you're thinking about this how. And Stephanie, you said the same thing. You don't want to put recommendations out there for stuff that you can't do in your role because it's too much. So try and keep in mind that you've got to consider those things as well. So I know I've mentioned a number of times that good evaluation can make a difference. By sharing what you learn through evaluation, you can help other people recognize the powerful impact that recreation can have on our personal health, both physical and mental, on our community well-being, and on our environments around us, and ultimately on our quality of life. So in your roles as recreation leaders, sport leaders, community leaders, try to prioritize evaluation by building it into your budgets and your work plans. So design evaluation to address real community issues and capture the benefits of recreation. Don't just do evaluation off the side of your desk when you have an issue and you think you need to do it. Build it into the work that you do on a day-to-day basis. So before we wrap up today's call, I have one last question, and this will help set you up for the final required learning activity. And it's a little bit reflective, and it also comes back to what we talked about right at the beginning. So I'll pop it in, and Guyanne, I'll ask you to go first this time. So how has your understanding of evaluation changed during this learning event?
So my understanding of evaluation was evaluation can be just for one thing, one particular thing, let's say someone's maybe the working culture or stuff. But what I have learned now, like, there are different ways to do the evaluation, right? That's the big thing that I'm seeing myself. And another thing is like getting their, collecting their data and different types of qualitative, quantitative data, and then changing the data into from the raw to, you know, the in the Excel sheet or like real data, and then from there analyzing and keeping everything in mind, the confidentiality and what is the appropriate data we're supposed to, like the finding we're supposed to present to our stakeholder or like appropriate for appropriate audience. So that's what my learning has changed a lot. Yeah. Thank you.
Great. So it sounds like it's been useful for you then, working through this on evaluation. Good. I noticed we just lost Stephanie. So I'll see if she jumps back in, and if not, she might have just got disconnected. But there we go. So we lost you for a second, Stephanie. So that's great, Deanne. So for you to finish up this learning event, what you need to do is you need to work on your Part B of your evaluation plan. Make sure to read my comments that you will find in the form under number 6. So I reply to your comments. And then you need to post in number 9. And then do the reflection, which is in number 11 under week 4. So that's what you need to do to wrap up. So, Stephanie, I see you say the server was rebooted. I rebooted and booted you out at the same time, but it's nice to see you're back. How has your understanding of evaluation changed during this learning event? And you just have to unmute when you're ready to chat. There you go.
Okay. I was just, sorry, what was the question again?
Yeah, I know you were multitasking here. I'll pop it in again because you've probably lost you in the chat. The question is, how has your understanding of evaluation changed during this learning event?
I would say how my understanding of evaluation had changed during this event was, I would say, data processing and being able to apply what I've learned on how to improve my communication skills and getting the information I would like to learn and using that information to improve programming and I would say, especially myself, on what kind of information that I could share with who in order to improve the programming. And ultimately, I like to improve quality of life for everyone, so everybody benefits just from me knowing a little bit more on how to run a program evaluation and applying what I've learned.
That's great. Well, I'm glad this learning event has been useful for you. I'm just going to double check. I think you did the first week 1 RLA, right? Is that the one? Okay, so you've done that one. I got thinking about cribbage night. And then you have posted your Part A. So I will look at that after this call, and I'll give you some feedback so you can move on to Part B, which is week 3. And you can go ahead, you guys, both you and Guillen, you don't need to finish your week 3 RLA before you do your week 4 one. If it works better for you to do them both at the same time, That's totally up to you, because the week four one is a reflection. It's captured on slide 64, and it just asks you to reflect on how evaluation is meaningful and useful. And I've given you a little bit of a template that can be fun to use with your community. So it's head, heart, feet, and spirit. So from that perspective is what I'm asking you to sort of reflect on. And so you guys go ahead. Stephanie, wait for me to give you feedback on your part A, which I'll do today, so you have it. And then go ahead and work on part B, which is your week three RLA, and then you also have your week four RLA. So whatever order you want to do those in, that's fine with me. And as far as our advanced learning events, we have, let me just check my calendar here. We don't have an advanced learning event, which means conference calls on Wednesday. So Guillaume's in both, Stephanie, so that we, and you're just in this stream. So we don't have another advanced learning event starting until April. And actually till April 10th. So you guys can take, if you need it, take a couple of weeks to finish up this learning event, but I'd like to see it within 2 weeks. So today, the deadline for this learning event, your RLAs, is March 19th, but you can take an extra 2 weeks, so you can take until April 2nd to complete the required learning activities. Okay, and then we
want to And it would also give me a chance to... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead, Stephanie. Let me just end the conference call recording, and then we can chat. So I'll stop it just because we don't need alert. There we go.